The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Luck looks the other way, now comes back left. He's going to take off with it, and he's going to go all the way to the end zone. Osweiler sends him out into the pattern. Osweiler throws it to him, and Miller gets corralled but stays on his feet, and it's Miller. Touchdown. What a play by Lamar Miller. Osweiler hangs in the pocket, fires, caught, touchdown. C.J. Fedorowicz. Luck pressured, sacked. That's McKinney came firing in.
We are now in actual sudden death. The next score wins.
All right. Second down and 10 from the 48-yard line. Osweiler deep down the left sideline and making the catches. Strong, Jalen Strong, who's had some huge games against Indianapolis, and he does it again. 33-yarder to win the game, which he does.
It's a big win. I mean, but again, like, these are, you know, this is a long season. And again, like I've said over and over again, I say it to the team the same way. It's a race to see who can improve the fastest and who can be the most consistent on a week-to-week basis, you know. So, like, it was a great win. You know, give the Colts credit. They battled hard. We battled hard. It's a division rival, and it was great to see our players resiliency and their ability to come back no matter what.
All right, let the overreactions begin. And that big announcement, not so big. Let's do this. It's a Monday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE factory approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And the Blitz is on for a Monday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, AJ Hoffman, the role model, Jong Lee, the master. If you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page, find the Blitz, click like, put your comments on visitor posts. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jong Snow with a zero, not a no, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And it's a Monday, and you guys are probably hungover because you were up watching the game late last night and drinking. But let's have some fun today. Sup, Hoffman?
Sports and stuff like that. What's going on with you?
How was your weekend?
Sportsy.
Yeah?
Sportsy, drunky, you know, that kind of weekend.
Yeah, I kind of did the same thing for the most part.
Yeah.
Although we did do
something. I lost my ass yesterday, too.
Oh, I did Saturday. I was telling you how much I was actually down after Saturday.
We had reverse fortunes because my Saturday, I wasn't up a lot, but I did all right.
Yeah.
Boy, yesterday was a kick in the balls, man.
Well, I only had two plays yesterday, the over on the Saints game and the over on the Bills. And hit those pretty decent. But the thing that got me out was the pick four that I gave out on the website at Woodbine that paid, I bet it for a dollar and it paid $1,800-something for a dollar. So if you played it for 50 cents, you got $900. So that got me out for the weekend. So the worst stretch I think I've ever had in one day of sports betting. One and six.
And that was after rolling in from Friday's.
Yeah, I was 8-0 going into Friday.
Not even close on the over.
Yeah, that's where it started. I'm counting that as one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was 1-6. But finished 4-6 for the week, which is a crap week.
But
considering how bad Saturday was.
Could have been way worse.
And yeah, and just that one horse play made my weekend. So I hope some people actually used it. I know some folks commented on there that they did, so. It was pretty easy money. All right. Well,
where to start?
Where should we start?
We begin?
You want to talk Cowboys Packers for a while?
No. Nope. Good on that. Let's start with those Houston Texans.
Let's do that.
And, you know, I guess, John, you have some of the audio from these guys. Who do we have? Charles James or Vince Wilfork? Let's hear what they had to say after this game. I'm sure
I just want to know, you know, for all the fans who left, with I hope their brisket turned out okay. They had to go home and check it. So,
man, I was pissed because a lot of people walked out the stadium, and you know, OB tell us, you know, all week, you know, ain't nobody gonna believe in us, you know, but the people inside this locker room.
Still have a shot in the game and see half of the stadium empty. It was surprising, to be honest with you. So, I never encountered that before, but I guess it is what it is.
You know, it kind of sucks to be one of those fans because when you come back and we, you know, we win the game, and then it's, you know, it sucks on your part because it just shows your true colors. And at the end of the day, I feel like we showed our true colors, which is a badass football team who can compete and come back and win a football game.
Still a pretty good atmosphere there towards the end. I mean, they got pretty loud there, ones that stayed.
No
here.
Question. And for the fans who did stay, love y'all, appreciate y'all. Y'all stayed through it all. Those are the true fans. Those are the true fans. Those are the people who, you know, I love to see. You know, we love to see as a unit, you know, the people who stayed out there. Those are the people whose hands I want to shake.
Okay. How about this? If you want fans to stay for the whole game, here's a crazy idea. Play like you want them to watch you. Put a product on the field that warrants sticking around for. I didn't go to the game. That's the first home game this season. Oh, I guess it's the second one. I didn't go to the Titans game either. I didn't go to this game, but I can tell you if I did, I would have left early. This is what I compared it to, Fred. And anybody who tells me a real fan stays to the end, cool. Enjoy being a real fan. Maybe I'm just not a real fan, because if you're putting garbage out there for me to watch, you're not giving me any reason to stay. The best analogy I could come up with, Fred, is the television show Mad Men. Mad Men was decent for a while, and then it quickly went from decent to just terrible.
Yep.
And I stopped watching, and about three or four seasons later, the show came to an end, and there was one of those water cooler days where all anyone could talk about was the end of Mad Men. And everybody was like, dude, you didn't see the end of Mad Men? No, because I left. I left when it was crappy. When they stopped making the effort to put together a good show, I said, you know what? I'm not going to waste any more of my time on this. I packed up and I left. So I didn't see the ending. Maybe it was great. I'll never know, because I didn't stick around for the end, because the middle wasn't good enough. There's a lot of movies like that. I'll get up. If a movie's terrible and I'm in the movie theater, I'll get up and leave. I'm that guy. I'll say, I'm going to go to the restroom, or let's go to the restroom and, you know, not come back. I tell my wife that. I've told her that before. It's happened. Because if a movie's that bad, I don't care what happens at the end. I don't care if there's some magical turnaround that somehow makes you feel better about the whole thing. Because when a movie's that bad for long enough, you shouldn't feel good about it. You're not supposed to leave the theater. I don't want to be fooled by a good ending that somehow convinces me that the whole movie was good, because that's not how it should be. It's not how it should be. And that's what the Texans did last night. But they didn't even follow the Mad Men thing where they like started out good. They were crappy from the go. I mean, their first, you know, 3.5 seasons were total crap. They had a good turnaround. They finished strong. Congratulations. It does. I don't want to feel good about that. I don't, because they didn't do anything that warranted feeling good. That was the 30th ranked defense. You waited until there's 4 minutes left. All of a sudden you can score. Nah, I'm not going to celebrate that. There's nothing to celebrate. I mean, you know what? It's a division win. You take them how you can get them. But if the goal is to win the division and be first-round playoff fodder for someone good, okay, the Texans are going to do that. If that's the goal, cool. What I was led to believe is this team was a quarterback away from being a Super Bowl contender, and they didn't get the right guy. And no matter what the last 4 minutes of that game told you, no matter what that one throw to Jalen Strong told you, they didn't get the right guy. So I'm not going to sit here and pretend like, oh, yeah, everything's cool because they beat the Colts. No, just like the Titans game, and this is the fourth straight week now that I left feeling worse about the team than I went into the game feeling. I mean, that's 4 weeks in a row. They're 2-2 in those 4 weeks, but 4 weeks in a row I've walked away saying, this team, this is worse than I thought. And last night was no exception. Worse than I thought.
Yeah, as far as the players, and I love the a badass football team comment because, okay, I'll have to take your word for that one, Chuck. But, hey, Vince, we all don't go home and eat brisket after games. I know you probably eat more brisket than most people, but can we, you know, you didn't have to go there. And second of all, it's to me, it's just like, if it's not just that they played like crap for more than three quarters last night. Fans had seen seven quarters of this. Because everybody watched that Minnesota game last week, and then you watch the first half here, and you see the same team we saw on the field there. There was one significant difference. Minnesota's really good. The Colts aren't. That was it. That was the only difference. And you saw that for the better part of seven quarters. I'm not going to blame anybody for saying, you know what? Screw this. I got to go to work tomorrow. I've been drinking all day. These guys don't care. I'm out.
Yeah.
I don't blame anybody for that. And, you know, as players go, whatever you need to motivate you, oh, even our own fans are against us. No, they're making a statement, and maybe you ought to respond to that statement by playing better football.
Django says, at the end of the day, you aren't a real fan, so I wouldn't expect you to stay, but at no point in that game should any Texans fan believe it was out of reach with that crappy Colts defense. That's the thing about quote-unquote real fans. To me, a real fan finds a way to hold an organization accountable and finds a way to make a statement to say that you expect better. Because, and this is what I've always said, everybody always tells me about how great Cubs fans are. And Cubs fans now, oh, it's easy. That's an easy life. You know, you show up and you watch your team win 100-something games. It's very difficult. But for the longest time when the Cubs sucked, they would sell out every game. And I always said, when you do that, there's no pressure on the organization to improve because you suckers are going to show up and clap your hands anyway and feel like sad sack. Oh, woe is me. Cubs, one day we'll get there. Sure. Are you going to feel good if the Cubs win the World Series? I guess. But you gave them no reason to get better because you just show up blindly. When you act like sheep and you just, bah, bah, we got to get back to the Texans game, bah. What pressure is that putting on them? They're saying, well, why should we go find the right quarterback? These dummies are going to show up and buy their jerseys and buy our tickets and pay for the beer, pay for the food. They're going to do that whether or not we're good or not. Who cares? That's what it seems like to me. And so saying you're a real fan because you stayed through that crap show, I guess I'm not a real fan, but I'm not a real fan of anybody because I don't care what team it was. I would have left too. That team didn't warrant, they didn't deserve, nor did they warrant the presence of fans by the end of that thing.
And there's a lot of other games that if you're watching and it's that bad, you're flipping the channel.
Of course.
The same thing. You just, you know, you've already spent your money on these tickets. It's your decision to do whatever you want with it. You probably already spent way too much money on food and alcohol while you're there. To see all that crap go on, I don't blame people for leaving. I don't blame the people for staying either. But I think the reality is you have every right to do whatever the hell you want as a fan, as long as it's not run on the field or bother other fans. But if you want to leave, leave. You want to stay, stay. One doesn't make you better than the other, in my opinion. Actually, the guy who leaves is probably making a statement that, hey, this is crap. I'm not going to stay here for the fourth quarter,
yeah.
Mainly because I can't drink.
Zero chance I would have stayed for that game. Zero chance that I honestly. That's one of those games. I don't even know if I would have turned the radio on in the car to finish hearing it. I don't even know if I'd want to know how it ended. I probably would have been the guy who showed up Monday morning going, "Wow, they won! Wow, never would have saw that coming." Because I was there for 3.5 quarters and they pretended like they didn't even show up to play. So I don't know. I'm. These players acting like somehow fans owe them staying to the end of the game. How about you owe the fans playing the whole game and not just walking out there and getting your ass stomped for 3.5 quarters and then showing up at the end and maybe pulling it out? Which, by the way, whatever you think of that game, the Colts' poor coaching decision to go for it on fourth and one is all that won the game for the Texans.
Yeah.
If the Colts had any kind of brains in their heads, if Chuck Pagano wasn't a big stupid dummy, they kick a field goal and go up seven like any other normal team in the world would do, because, you know, going up seven, that makes sense, right? That's a full touchdown. That's what you want. No, we're going to go for it on fourth and one.
And didn't do it from the shotgun where he gets sacked.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Of all things.
At least Andrew Luck's pretty good at quarterback sneaks. Just give him the ball and let him go right up the middle if you're going to do
that. They tried that on third and one, and it didn't work. So I guess they said, well, let's get cute here.
Yeah.
To me, you don't get that on third and one. Guess what? You call out that Hall of Fame kicker you've got to make it a 7-point game.
The guy who hasn't missed in, what, how many years?
Yeah. And then you know what we're talking about today? We're not talking about what a real fan is. We're talking about what's wrong with this Texans team, which is really what we should be talking about. Not what's wrong with fans who left early. We should be talking about why is this team worse than it was last year.
And that's what we're going to do when we come back.
All right.
So
as long as you're not going to talk about what bad fans there are out there.
No, I think we're done with that.
I don't need that. I don't blame those guys one damn bit. On the left too. All right, guys. If you left the game last night and maybe you had a beer or two at the game, which you're within your rights to do, you want to pay $20 for a beer? Hey, you're allowed to do that. But if you were accused of DWI, hell, maybe you even failed the breath or blood test the police gave you. A lot of things about those tests you should know about. Breath test machines, they're not even warranted fit for breath testing. They make temperature assumptions that create artificially high results. Then it destroys the evidence that it checked, making rechecking and proving your innocence impossible. Failing that test isn't the end of the world. Juries are smart. They're going to notice the problems with that machine. Same with the blood test. They're going to notice that they're not testing your actual blood. They're testing the air above your blood, which is a very indirect, very circumstantial test for alcohol. That's where attorney Gary Trichter comes in. He's a DWI specialist, one of only four board-certified DWI specialists in the entire state, and he's right here in Houston. He's experienced in telling the truth about these tests. He's experienced in telling the truth to juries about these tests. If you failed the breath or blood test, DWI, DUI, boating while intoxicated, call attorney Gary Trichter. Put his number on your cell phone right now at 713-524-1010 or visit texasdwilaw.com. That's 713-524-1010 for attorney Gary Trichter.
ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. All right, I'll start with the positives. This is the first time I can remember in a while where they actually came from behind and won a game like that.
Yeah.
And so I'll give them that, because that's one of the things that I've always, you know, I'll take a quarterback who's really good in the last 10 minutes versus, you know, that's kind of been Andrew Luck's career.
Yeah.
It was kind of the opposite of the way Colts games usually go. He'll go out there and suck for the first half and throw an interception and get sacked a bunch. Then you give him the ball in the fourth quarter with down two touchdowns, and next thing you know, the game's tied and they go on to win usually. So it's very similar, you know, the other way around. So that's a positive. I'm glad that they actually figured things out late. I still think part of that is that Colts defense that you struggled against all night is so bad. I mean, if that safety reacts to the ball, he picks off the pass to Fedorowicz that tied the game. And I look at how I think it's just the same combination of things that I've been seeing every week. The quarterback is not playing well. The play calls are abysmal. And, you know, you got a lot out of Lamar Miller. If you'd have told me he'd have had that many yards and you're getting your ass kicked, you're not calling the right plays. You're not running things right. And there's a lot of issues on this team. Now Kevin Johnson apparently is out for the year. That's a pretty big loss. So I think I'm kind of with you. I feel worse about this game, and I'm sure they'll take it. You can keep winning games like that, and some of the opponents they got, they probably will keep winning games like that. There's a lot of crappy teams out there. But, man, I'd just like to see them put it together and actually, you know, start to finish, play a quality football game.
Yeah.
And it, that can be a loss. You can go into Denver, and if you do that, you play well the whole game and lose. I'll feel better about that than a win like this. But that's just me.
It's not just you.
Want to try Josh, see what he has to say?
Sure.
What's up, Josh?
Hey, guys, doing?
Hey, we're doing sportsy. What's up?
Hey, I got two questions. One, AJ, you see Tannehill, I played Big Ben yesterday and got the win.
Celebrate.
You said what?
Celebrate that.
Yeah. I'm saying he outplayed him. You said he was a crappy quarterback, but he outplayed him. And the Texans are 4-2 now. I just want to know if they keep it up. I know they got to clean some stuff up. You think they got a shot at the Super Bowl this year?
No. Whoever that caller is, always he loves bad football teams. Loves bad football teams. Mm. A, Tannehill outplayed Big Ben because Big Ben got hurt.
Yeah.
And is probably out for the foreseeable future.
He's had surgery this morning already. Yeah. So,
Ryan Tannehill, he upped his record to 2-4, which is fantastic. He's almost he's 6-7 touchdowns to interceptions now. So he's almost at 500 on that. So yeah, big day for him. They should give him an extension again. That'd be real smart.
Yeah, get out of here. That's how I love to start Mondays, is with a call like that. And we'll get to all the other games, but
no, absolutely, I don't think the Texans are a Super Bowl contender because we saw last. Does anyone think the Colts are a good team?
No, I've been saying all along that other than Andrew Luck, there's nobody.
What do they have
going
for him? Vontae Davis, maybe. He's been good.
He's been solid.
But what do you want from that team? I mean, they don't have any good players. They shouldn't be even considered a contender, but they are because they have Andrew Luck. But the reality is that's not a good team. Just like the Titans aren't a good team, and it took everything the Texans had to beat them too. So at this point, what we can say the Texans are is we can say the Texans aren't a bad team. That's what we can say. But that doesn't make them good because they've played two good teams and got their heads stomped in.
And I'd like to see them go beat a bad team on the road too.
Well, they haven't played one yet.
Yeah, I know, and they're not this time either.
Although hell, we talked this week about what are the Broncos really? How good are they? Maybe
it doesn't matter. They're not. I don't think they're that good, but they're good enough.
They're better than the Texans.
They're good enough to trash this team.
Yeah.
So,
I'm pretty sure Wade Phillips has some tricks up his sleeve against them.
I don't think he needs too many tricks.
Yeah.
They'll just be running 3rd and 15 draw plays. Let's try Robert. What's up, Robert? Hello, Robert.
Hey now. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, that was brilliant. Almost as brilliant as the first one.
Yep.
So, I don't want to lose sight of the fact that they're at least taking care of business against these teams they should be beating. Not looking good doing it, but they're at least getting the wins. And last year at this time, they weren't. So, I'll go with the one positive to this is that I think they're in a better spot now than they were at this time last season.
Yeah.
But I don't think they're a better team than they were at the end of last season, if that makes sense. I think at the end of last season, they were playing better football than they are now, except for, of course, the playoff game.
There were a lot of people who were saying that it seemed like most people kind of understood that Brock Osweiler was not having a good season. I mean, that seemed to be a given before last night. Then last night, I got people saying, what do you think of him now? How about Brock now? And I still go back to the fact that Brian Hoyer last year was better than this. Brian Hoyer, who all of you hated and wanted out, was better than this. And so now you've got basically Ryan Mallett making franchise quarterback money and that you're trying to defend his play? Why? Who plays like, besides Ryan Tannehill, who makes this kind of money, plays this poorly, and has people defending him. It's crazy.
Colin Kaepernick?
You think Bears fans are like, yeah, Jay Cutler, we need to get him back out there. He's the man. No, Bears fans, they hate Jay Cutler now, which I always say, careful what you wish for, because he's the best thing they've ever had.
Yeah, now they've had Brian Hoyer go out there and throw for 300 three straight games.
Yeah, all of a sudden, you think they're clamoring for Jay? No. No. But most fan bases, when they get this bad of quarterback play and they're paying that much money for it, they want answers. They want to know why this is happening.
And I said this last week, if he has a good performance against the Colts, it's not going to convince me of anything, because if you don't have a good performance against that defense, then you really are garbage.
Right.
And his final numbers look good. He was great for the last two drives in overtime. But on the whole, not a great performance. And
no.
And it's not a convincing performance. Like I said, the one positive I'll take away from that is the team and him and he finally showed that dimension, that they can come from behind, which they're going to have to. There's going to be some games where they get down. So I'll give him that. That's certainly a positive.
And like I said, everybody's...
It's not changing my mind about him or this team that they pulled that game out.
I guess what it boils down to is, if you're a real fan, which clearly I'm not a real fan, what are you happy with as a real fan? Are you happy with this team winning the division and having zero chance to be a real player in the AFC? If you're happy with that, okay. To me, that's not what a real fan is. A real fan says, there's so much talent on this roster that the fact that we were even struggling in that game is a joke. It's a joke. Because that is a very talented roster, that Texans roster. Even without J.J. Watt, and obviously they miss him, but even without him, it's a very talented roster. Very deep roster, especially when you look at the other teams in that division. I mean, the Texans have a lot more talent on it around the field than most of those teams, but they may be the worst at quarterback, and that's what's important. So that's where I ask, is that a real fan mindset? Is, well, we're the best team in the division, that's all that matters. Because I can't imagine that's what a real fan feels.
No, if, that's okay. They're going to feel good about their AFC South championship.
That t-shirts. New banner up there. Yep. What's it going to be? The third or the fourth AFC South championship banner? That stadium will be full of those. Full of AFC South banners. Beat your chest, Texans fan. Awesome. All right, guys. As you know, Fred, I just finished up a fight camp. And after my fight, I wanted to celebrate. And I was smart. I prepared. I thought ahead. And that meant that I had a batch of aged whiskey waiting for me from my good friends at Deep South Barrels. The bootlegging potion didn't disappoint. Basically spent a few bucks at a liquor store on a bad bottle of booze, a couple dollars for that bootlegging essence. And after the fight, I had a miraculous keg of booze. It was so great. That barrel filled with goodness. It's time you try out Deep South Barrels for yourself. Use my promo code Hoffman. You'll get 10% off your entire order. These are good people down in Pearland, local business. This is a great gift. These customizable barrels that help expedite the process of creating a smooth spirit, removes impurities from house liquors. The oak wood soaks up all those impurities, and it does it in 28 days, less than a month to turn bad booze into good booze. Age your spirits to perfection with Deep South Barrels. Go to deepsouthbarrels.com and remember to use that promo code Hoffman to save 10% off your entire order. It's Deep South Barrels, deepsouthbarrels.com, promo code Hoffman.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN. The only thing that I would say, just to not be totally sound like we're just being negative today, I do see where they can improve in some areas, but I'm not seeing that improvement yet. And I think that's the frustrating thing for me, is that I see where there's some things they can fix. They're just not getting fixed. if that makes sense. In terms of play calling, in terms of, I think they need to move some guys around on the offensive line a little bit. I mean, because that's still a disaster. And I think they can clean some things up defensively, too. And I think they have the talent on defense to clean those things up. But I need to see it start happening. It's one thing to say, eh, they can get better. Well, let's see them get better. That's that, and that's what is getting me. Let's blast through some calls. Mike, you're on the Blitz. Go.
Hey, guys, sports.
Sports to you, sir.
Hey, I have a quick question. It's kind of a two-parter if you want. Who do you think is leading for Rookie of the Year right now? I know it's kind of early, but is it Ezekiel or is it Dak? And if your answer is Dak, how much of an influence do you think Ezekiel has on Dak being the Rookie of the Year due to his running and his what a lot don't hold as a big thing is his blocking. He's an amazing blocker.
My answer is Ezekiel Elliott, and it's not even close. He's leading the league in rushing by over 100 yards over the next closest guy. He's the reason that team. I mean, Dak's played well, don't get me wrong, but Ezekiel Elliott is the reason that team is going where they're going right now. He's running so well.
Well, let's let the season play out a little bit.
I mean,
bit
it's
too.
Through 6 weeks, but yeah. To me right now, Ezekiel Elliott's the clear leader in that Rookie of the Year race.
Let's try, is it Gabriel?
Sports guy.
Sports Gabriel.
You know, I listen to your show, first time caller. I've been listening for about the past couple of years, and I've just been wondering about the Texans. I've been wondering, how come the Texans, you know, in their recent years, I mean, they just recently came out 2-14 season about 3 years ago. They're still coming out with these commercials saying basically like, join the family and buy the season tickets. It seems a lot like BS, especially since yesterday's performance.
Well,
I'll let you guys talk.
The reality is, if you want to buy season tickets, you got to get in line. That's the craziest thing about it is because the Oilers left, fans in this city are so scared and so paranoid that they're going to lose their football team that it doesn't matter. When they're 2-14, there's still a line for season ticket holders. You got to wait.
Yeah, I think the season ticket wait list is like 27,000, I think is the number I heard.
It's crazy.
Yeah. So people are going to keep buying.
Paul, sports to you. Hey, Paul.
Hello, Paul.
Sports to you?
Yes, this is where you go.
Yeah. Hello?
Yeah, yep. This is where you go, pal. Action. Come on.
Hey, I just wanted to get a quick comment about Case Keenum and how you feel his progression has been this year so far. Also, I mean, I feel like I'm a real Texan fan. I've been watching since 02. I've got merchandise. I've been to games. But, I mean, I turned that game off at halftime yesterday, and I just don't really feel like I'm a bad fan because of it. We were just garbage all game. So I'll hang up and get your thoughts on Case.
My thoughts on Case, which even though they lost that game yesterday, he played a good game. He's been slightly above average this season, I guess, overall. But the problem is, and this isn't necessarily a knock on him. I mean, he is what he is. My opinion hasn't changed on him. When teams play the Rams, everybody lines up to stop Todd Gurley, and rightfully so. And to be fair, they've pretty much done that. Todd Gurley has not been effective this year, but teams learned their lesson last year that you can't just let Todd Gurley go running wild on you because the Rams are actually decent when he does that. So they're stacking the box, making it easier for Case Keenum, and to his credit, he's taken advantage, other than last week against Buffalo where he was god-awful. For the most part, he's taken advantage of it. I say just for that exception. He sucked week one against the 49ers of all teams too. But he's been better than I would have expected. But, you know, that guy, if anybody should be succeeding, it's the Rams quarterbacks, whoever it is, because every team's primary concern when they play the Rams is stopping Todd Gurley.
Let's try Wendy. What's up, Wendy?
Hello? The ladies are calling. Hello, Wendy.
Hello.
Hey, sports.
Hi, sports. I just wanted to ask you guys, I try to listen to you as much as I can. I'm a true Texans fan, and I know you guys don't like Brock, but it's only his 13th or 14th start. I just wonder, why do you think that the fans don't have any patience, considering we put up with David Carr and Matt Schaub for a long time, and they were both horrible?
Well, Matt Schaub is the best quarterback in the history of this franchise, and David Carr is probably the second best. So I go with horrible lightly. But I think the reason why people don't have patience is because last year, like we said, and we said it on this show, the Texans are probably a quarterback away from being a serious Super Bowl contender. And they went out and they paid big money in the offseason for Brock Osweiler, and he has performed worse than Brian Hoyer and Ryan Mallett did at a quarter or a third of the price. So that's why people don't have patience for it, because this was supposed to be the answer. And there's people on Twitter, even if he does suck, it's only a two-year miss. 2 years in the NFL is a long-ass time. A long time.
I mean, it's 2 years off of J.J. Watt's life. Well, yeah. One now, but...
Yeah. By the way, in 2 years from now, guess who else is going to have to get paid like he finally deserves to? DeAndre Hopkins. You're not be able to... DeAndre Hopkins makes in a year what Julio Jones makes in a game. That's going to change, and then it's going to be harder to make this team work. So 2 years, acting like 2 years is no big deal if this is a misstep, it's still a huge misstep for this franchise to waste 2 years when they had a roster that was primed to win. That's why the patience is low for Brock Osweiler.
And it should be. But having said that, he has to get better. I see some of the tools there, but I'm not seeing it put together. And somebody else, it's like, oh, you guys only sound disappointed that they won. No, what I'm disappointed in is I'm not seeing progress. I'm glad they won the game. It was a big win for them, but I'm not seeing progress. And three drives at the end of a game are not going to sell me yet. I need to see more consistently like that. More consistency like that.
Let's do Robert before we hit the break. What's up, Robert?
How's it going, sports?
Sports to you.
So, back to talk about some of the fans and good fans or bad fans. This morning, for example, I go into work and everybody's there going, yeah, Texans won, Texans won. Like, yeah, did you watch the game? Can you tell me anything about the game? They're just like, no. But they're fans. They know nothing about the team. Know nothing about what's going on, but they're Texans fans. What draws them to the Texans so much that they don't even know anything about what's going on, but they're fans?
Well, I mean, that's different kinds of fans. I mean, there's some fans who all they care about is did our city's team win? And if that's the kind of fan you are, then all right, that's cool. I don't have much room to talk because I'm not a real fan of any team. I'm a football fan. I just like football. So if the Texans win or lose, it doesn't affect me emotionally either way. But what does affect me is when I watch a game last night where a team didn't look good at all, and then I've got people saying, I told you so, like this team is suddenly a great team. That's what I don't understand, and I'll never understand. And
speaking specifically about the fans he was talking about, those are the ones that I would call, those are your network news fans. So if Channel 11, Channel 13, one of the newscasts has the Texans or the Cougars or the Rockets or anybody at the top of the newscast, they care.
Yeah.
And those are the kind of people you're running into. It's like, oh, I heard they won last night. Well, that's not the same as the people that are going to the games and watching every second of them, and some people watching them two and three times. But I think that's kind of what he was talking about. That's very common in this city. You'll get, well, hey, when UH beat Oklahoma, that's all people were talking about for a week because it was on the top of the newscast. So,
all right, guys, got to tell you about Man's Best Friend. And listen, if you're like me, my dog was a nightmare. That dog was a pain in the ass puppy, of course. But listen, puppies got to learn. They need to learn their place. And that's what Man's Best Friend did. Here's what these guys do. They offer full-service obedience training, puppy training, protection training, as well as boarding and grooming services. But I took my dog in there. We had a consultation, basically. We sat down, my wife and I, with a dog. The lady asked us what's important to us with this dog. And basically, we told them our priorities, what we wanted her to work on. when we picked her up, she was a whole new dog. She had worked on everything that we told him to work on. So all the jumping up on people, knocking people down, the play biting, all that stuff is out the window. I couldn't walk that dog on a leash because it was just too out of control. Now it walks right by my heel. It sits when I stop. It's amazing the transformation that Man's Best Friend made on her. Give him a call, 713-932-6709, or stop by 2331 Bingle Road. Check him out at mansbestfriend.com. And right now, you can go to ESPN975.com and register to win a $250 gift card to Man's Best Friend. So just go to our website, click on the link, and register to win. And if you use our promo code, if you are just don't even have a promo code, just mention ESPN975 when you use their services, and you'll get 30% off your training, your grooming, your boarding at Man's Best Friend. It's Man's Best Friend, mansbestfriend.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Listen to your favorite ESPN 97.5 show on the go with the ESPN 97.5 app for iOS or Android. Now back to the Blitz with Fred and AJ.
Guys, Dick's Sporting Goods is coming to Houston. We're excited about the new grand opening of Dick's this weekend. I'll be hanging out at the new Dick's Sporting Goods located at Willowbrook Mall Saturday from 1 until 3. We're going to give away a ton of stuff. And if the email I got today is correct, Mario Ellie will be hanging out there with me at Dick's. So 1-3 on Saturday at Willowbrook.
Did you see their blimp flying around town this weekend?
I did not.
Yeah, I did. I took a picture of it from my balcony.
Yeah, I saw one too. I was coming back from Katy into the city, and I was like, "What's that? What the hell is that black thing in the sky?" And it was the side of the Dick's. It was the side of the Dick's, you know, balloon. So I was like,
huge,
"Oh man!"
Huge, throbbing, inflated.
Yeah, they were apparently blimp. All over
blimp.
The city.
It's not a balloon. It's a blimp.
Okay, blimp. I thought it was like something for Sunday Night Football, but then it was a Dick's blimp. They were all over the city, apparently, like Pearland up north and then League City everywhere.
713-780-3776. Hey, can I tell you about something really cool that we did yesterday that I never thought I would enjoy? We had some friends in town. Now, you probably remember Hot Kim from Beaumont was one of the original Blitzers. So it was her birthday, so she and her husband came in town. So we went to that, you know, so it's... had some time in the afternoon before the Texans game, went to that escape room. Have mm-hmm. you heard of these things?
No.
You basically, you're in a room for an hour. You get clues. You're essentially locked in, and you get clues to try to find out how to get out.
There's not a door?
Well, there's a door, and it's got an emergency thing, which you can push and get out if you really need to.
I would win that game.
Which one did you go to? Because I did one of those.
The one in Midtown?
Yeah, I think I did the one in downtown.
Okay. It was
how
pretty,
many of these are there? What the hell?
Well, apparently it's a big deal. I'd never heard of them. And then the wife says, "Hey, we got to go check this out." And I'm like, and I was kind of like, "Okay, it sounds hideous, but I'll do it."
Is there danger in the room?
No.
It's just like a puzzle, basically.
Yeah, it's like solving a puzzle, and you have an hour to do it. And we did it in 57 minutes and 17 seconds.
So it'd be way cooler if there was like a murderous clown locked in the room.
That would probably be cool. And maybe
it was
they
like
do that
Saw.
For Halloween. But
yeah, we had a zombie.
Oh, I like yours better.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was more 80s stuff, which was kind of cool. And there were two sports things in there that I just crushed. So that was my contribution. I sucked at Pong, though.
Oh, really?
You had to beat Pong.
Uh-huh.
And I grew up with Pong. I couldn't figure it out.
Your old man reflexes aren't the same.
I'm telling you, man.
Jay tweeted that the McLean graded the Texas coaches last night with an A.
Find that hard to believe.
McLean's article says, coaching A, Bill O'Brien and his coaches have to do something to get the offense off to a better start, but they got their players to play hard, and they never gave up despite trailing until the winning overtime kick. Are you kidding me? That's an A coaching job? Good Lord.
Rob says, bandwagon fans don't listen to this show. Eh, we get a few.
Yeah, we've got some.
Yeah. Disco says, I'm sick of being patient with this team. It's like one step forward, two back every year. Well, that's the thing. I think this is this whole Rick Smith imprint. You know, where's it getting you? I just want to see improvement. Somebody's like, oh, well, we'll impress you if they go in and beat the Broncos. It depends. Do I see progress? I'd be happy losing that game if I just see some progress. If I see a more consistent performance out of the quarterback. I see the offensive line play better. I see some better play calling. And sometimes those plays won't work. Sometimes the defense goes up and makes a play. That's great. But put your guys in position and give them a chance. That's what I want to see.
Yeah.
And then I want to see them take advantage of some of those things. And, yeah, if they go in there, what I don't want to see, because it tells me that they haven't taken a step forward in any way, shape, or form, is if they go in there and play like they did in Minnesota, or they played like they did against New England, where they just got their ass kicked start to finish. And I didn't see anything last night that convinced me that's not going to be the case. I just want to see some incremental progress. Is that too much to ask?
No.
Okay. Why don't we try Brian? What's up, Brian?
Hi, guys. Sports. You there?
Sports.
I've been a season ticket holder. I go to most of the games. I just noticed over the course of really the last year and a half, but especially this season, that seems like the officiating's been terrible. And, I mean, I don't have replay at home to be able to see that, obviously, being at the game. But it seems like, there's a fair catch last night that or it looked like a fair catch that wasn't a fair catch. And, a couple other major calls that seem like they're just not going our way.
I'm not really seeing those.
I didn't notice any bad.
I see bad calls every game that go against both teams, pretty much. Except for the one that I could say was a really bad call was the non-interference call in the Falcons game on Richard Sherman. That should have been called interference. Yeah. But other than that, I'm just not seeing that.
I mean, maybe I wasn't paying close enough attention, but no. I didn't see any egregious calls, at least in that game.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of bad calls. I mean, I think officiating in general is horrible, but it's horrible for everybody. They get a lot wrong that they shouldn't. All right, 713-780-ESPN is your number. And speaking of the Dick's blimp.
That's right. I'll be out there on Saturday, like I mentioned, but the grand opening starts October 21st. And Dick's is opening 10 new stores in 6 different locations around Houston. Willowbrook, where I'll be, Deerbrook, Humble, the Woodlands, First Colony, and then Katy and Baybrook are massive buildings that are actually going to house 3 stores, a Dick's, a Field & Stream, and a Golf Galaxy, all under one roof. Everything from snow gear to biking and clothes and sneakers and backpacks and fishing gear, kayaks, you name it, they're going to have it. Team sports stuff as well, obviously, footwear. Everything you need to get out there and get active, they're going to have it there at these stores. They're going to be giving away a ton of prizes, too, over 10,000, and they're going to have over 40 athletes and celebrities appearing in their stores during that weekend. I believe I'm going to be out there with former Rocket Mario Elie. These are the first Dick's Sporting Goods of their kind in the whole country, and they picked Houston to open them up in. They've got some really cool things going on. You can always get your golf clubs fitted. You can try a new driver in the virtual hitting bay at one of the Golf Galaxy stores. They'll steam your baseball glove for you. To find more about the celebrations Dick's is planning for this opening weekend, visit dicks.com/Houston. That's October 21st. Willowbrook, Deerbrook, the Woodlands, First Colony, Katy, and Baybrook are all going to be involved with this grand opening weekend. So for more info, check it out again, dicks.com/Houston.